Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome in here to Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland with you. On a Tuesday morning, glad to be with you here. If you're joining us on our video stream, I apologize. I'm a little under the weather, so I'm a little delirious, and I look like it. So you get to stare at that for a little while, but we'll be just fine. 869-1240 is the number to call. You can get in touch with the program as well on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube. It is not wanting to launch via X, so we're working on that. So if you're listening to us and you're in the office and you got to watch, you're gonna have to watch on Facebook or YouTube for now, or of course on 12 News Connected, the best way to watch the show. You can do that as well. So glad to be here with you. We've got Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats, coming up in just a little bit here in this hour. We'll talk about their game last night, survival mode. They keep the unbeaten season alive. A little bit of a scare there against Tulsa, but they get a big shot late and they get the win in a game. Boy, that would have been a disappointment. I'll just be perfectly honest as we get you ready for just a massive night of college basketball tonight with Wichita State and KU both playing as both pretty heavy underdogs as the lines come out this morning, which is interesting. We'll get into all of that today. A little Monday night football for you. Chiefs fans may be paying closer attention to that game because as they need all these wins down the stretch. Dallas is one of those games that you hoped you'd be okay in, and all of a sudden Dallas with a little bit of a revamped defense looks pretty darn good. So we'll dig in there as well. Take you around the rest of the headlines. Max Power producing for us. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for holiday fun. Bring the whole family and your out-of-town visitors to WBC for a taste of pizza and beer made here, east near Central and Woodlawn, west at 13th and Tyler, and in historic Delano at Handley, Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for the holiday season. Boy, I'm going to need the Prairie Fire coffee this morning, TJ. I bet I got about, I don't know, 2.5 hours sleep last night.
Sounds like you might need some hot lemon water in your cup this morning.
Yeah, I need lots of Prairie Fire coffee. I need lots of something. And here we go. What a night there. I was texting you about Monday Night Football, and you immediately were about to go Debbie Downer on basketball, and I flipped back over and K-State was able to hang on and get the win. That was a little tight. I don't know much about Tulsa.
They were picked sixth. They were picked eighth, excuse me, in the American Conference.
But who cares? Like where they're, you know what I mean? Like imagine picking the American this year.
Yeah, I know.
And Ken Palm's down, so I can't pull up there.
They were 117 last night.
117. That's not bad. That's not bad. That's right about where Wichita State started the year and lived. So you think Wichita State's 117?
They're better than 117.
Right, but that's where they started about.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's we don't know yet what that, you know, we'll go back and look at this game 2 months from now and we'll have a better idea of just exactly what it is. Most importantly, K-State just needed to win the game ahead of the Hall of Fame Classic that comes up later this week. They just needed to win the game, and they found a way to win the game, and they were a little bit tested, and you could tell their head coach certainly was excited that they won the game. Jerome Tang pretty fired up at the end of the game and then apparently into the locker room and into the post game, but they were able to get it done. I think, you know, what we sit here, and we'll talk to Wyatt Thompson about this in just a minute, when we sit here right now, the concern is they gave up 100 to Missouri, 90 to Newman, 71 to Bellarmine, 96 to Cal, and now 83 to Tulsa. This team's going to have to learn how to play some defense.
Yeah, that's what happened last night. That was the biggest issue of, you know, why it was such a close game. The offense didn't score. That's kind of the joke, is that it's, you know, can they score 100 points every game? They might need to score 100 points every single game to win games. And last night they didn't score 100 points. And it was pretty close. And I think that's just a testament of what other teams are going to do to them based on K-State's defense and the way that they operate. And they're going to live and die by, we'll let you have points, but we're going to go try to get them right back. And then, you know, some nights that's going to level out a little bit.
Yeah, look, it was another game too, just like the last time we saw them against Cal, where they played pretty good defense in the first half, and then they just let it go in the second half. And so there's a really specific thing there to look at if you're a Cat fan, like second half defense. How do the Cats react to the opposition reacting? Does that make sense? Like whatever adjustments are being made at halftime, K-State's got to be able to make them right back, because we've seen in a couple games in a row now against better competition, those teams have made adjustments at halftime, and K-State hasn't been able to defend very well coming out of the break. But you still get PJ Haggerty being old reliable, which they're going to have this year. That's why they brought him in. That's why he was so coveted with a nice double-double. But again, it's the same old story with him. He gets to the line a ton. This is what he does, Wildcat fans. He is a scorer. He, in the truest sense of the word, he gets a ton of points from the free throw line, and right now they're going to have it just about every night if they want to be where they want to be at the end of the year. That's Tulsa's first loss of the year. We'll talk to Wyatt Thompson about it. We'll get his take on Tulsa, you know, and how big time an opponent that is, because coming up now, Mississippi State, neither Nebraska or New Mexico, and then Indiana, their next three games are going to be against pretty high caliber competition. And we'll, you know, obviously it doesn't take a basketball genius to say, well, they're going to need to play better defense in those games, because they're going to need to play better defense in those games.
And play better defense in every game.
Right. Totally. I mean, in the Big 12, I mean, if you just, they'll have to be better in that category, but that's something most teams can, can improve on throughout the course of a year. Their offense is there. Their offense looks like what we hoped their offense would look like. Like if you're a Cat fan right now and you saw the roster composition come together, you're getting a lot of what you hoped for out of K-State. So again, we'll have that with Wyatt Thompson. We'll get into tonight's games. I mentioned kind of heavy underdogs here Wichita State and KU, the Shockers are 9.5 point dogs. KU is 11.5 point dogs. And this creates a pretty fun storyline for the night. Who's getting on that that money line parlay for the Shockers and the Jayhawks tonight? Who's in on that?
I hadn't seen that yet until you said it at like the very opening of the show, and I have already taken Shockers money line since you said it. That is
absurd line.
And well, I don't know if I'm touching KU's money line. That's
of course
stressful.
We don't expect Aaron Peterson to play. I don't believe that Bill Self didn't talk yesterday, did he?
No.
So you know the last that we've heard is out. What was the term for a while?
For the immediate future.
Or the immediate future. Did that mean one game or did that mean a week?
How immediate is that? I don't know.
Right.
I'm telling you, it could be some gamesmanship and he laces them up tonight.
It could be.
It's not. I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either. But 11.5? Just 11.5 even without it. Maybe not on the money line, but maybe you take the 11.5 points. But hey, we're going to get into all of it when we return. The Wyatt Thompson joins as the Wildcats get that win in basketball. They're looking for one more win to reach a bowl. It's Sports Daily. It's all Rocky Cleveland. Don't go away.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And that insider interview, Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats. Before we jump in, I want to tell you about the Odyssey Holiday Hookup now through Friday. You can enter to win this contest. Odyssey taking care of the food and fun this Thanksgiving. Win a full holiday feast and Thunder tickets for the whole family. Smoked ham, turkey, all the sides from Hog Wild Pit Barbecue, more than $200 in value, and 10 tickets to Wichita Thunder's Star Wars night on November 29th. Good luck there, everybody. Just enter the keyword thanks to the number 20357. Message and data rates apply. We are joined by Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats, fresh off of a late night there as K-State gets a win. Wyatt, we were just discussing there slightly how good as Tulsa, I guess. You know, should we be concerned at all there? Or is Tulsa better than we thought? What did you get a read on last night with the opposition and the way they won the game?
Well, I would say a couple of things. One, I think you'd be crazy if you didn't say K-State had a little bit of good fortune in the last minute there to kind of find a way to win. And I also would say, too, that Tulsa's probably a little bit better than I thought they were going to be.
Okay.
They had a young man play last night that hadn't played yet, that had 11 points in the game and really helped them. I love their aggressiveness. They're not necessarily the world's best shooting team, and I think David Green was a great example of that. But it didn't stop him from continuing to claw and scratch and fight. I really, really liked, you know, just how competitive they were. You know, I think K-State did some good things, but again, good fortune there towards the end because they were dealing with, you know, a situation with PJ Haggerty with four fouls. They took him out. Coach Tang mentioned afterwards, it's probably on me. I left him out a little bit too long. So you get, you know, the back-to-back steals and buckets to find a way when maybe it looked pretty darn bleak. I'll be honest. I thought with a minute to go, they were cooked. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it was a lot of good fortune between a loose ball falling right to Haggerty's hands, the layup, everything like that. But there's something to be said, you know, whenever you're down. That's what Coach Tang was screaming about after the game on the sideline interview. I don't know if you got a chance to see that or not. He probably screamed at you too, honestly. What does that say about a team, the ability to go get the stop you needed to get the bucket you need to get? There's takeaways that are positive from that, definitely.
Well, and he mentioned to us in the radio postgame show that they do work on those scenarios from time to time towards the end of practice. And I think it did pay off. You know, there was probably, for me, the good fortune is in the play where Nate Johnson kind of jumped into the passing lane, forced the pass a little bit wide. Everybody thought that he touched it. It goes to the replay. He didn't. K-State rushes right down and scores. That's the other thing. I don't know that they necessarily got good fortune with making those buckets. They had to go get those, right? But then you, after you get the bucket, then you get into that full court pressure and force another one. And Castillo goes down, hits the tough layup, and you find a way. Now, again, they had to fight him off two times in the last 18 seconds. There was another review after Green missed a shot. And it, or I guess they missed a shot. I don't remember if it was exactly Green, but it goes out. Another review. They get the ball, 4 seconds to go. Green misses one. Ball falls to the floor, and you win the game. And I think I think this is a team that's continuing to learn and evolve. And I do like their competitive fire. I mean, it's obvious PJ's a special talent, but I think others are making their way too. I've said all along, our fans are going to like Nate Johnson for all of the things that he can do. I don't know that he's great at one particular thing, but he's really pretty darn good at a lot of them. And I really like the way Kamari's coming on. And it's obvious to say David Castillo, right? He shot the ball in the last three games, like just at a different level.
I would say, too, we're talking about good fortune. I don't even know if it was kind of bad fortune, but they overcame it at the very end. That ball goes out of bounds, unfortunately, off of K-State, and they have to make two, not one, but then two defensive stops, only up one against, and they got them both done. So that was impressive, I guess, to see the rebound. But the reality is, why, what is going on in these second halves to allow these teams to, you know, they're just, their second half defense has not been any good. Is it them not adjusting to the adjustments the other team is making? What do we make of several times now the second half, the defense just looking pretty bad, quite honestly?
Yeah, and I think to be honest, I think more times than not, it's a little bit of focus. I know that was certainly the case in the Cal game, and I'm not an excuse maker, or at least I don't believe I am, but you're up 55-34, and they didn't have a lot of juice coming out in the second half, and Cal made them pay. I mean, it was a game, no doubt. Very worrisome there in the last couple of minutes. The one thing that was different last night, though, is K-State was better with the turnovers. That is a big deal. The secondary part was in a game that, again, I mentioned how Tulsa fought, and I thought they were warriors on the glass. Not a lot of people like to talk about stuff like this, but the guard rebounding for K-State last night probably saved their tail, if you want to know the truth. I mean, PJ had a good night. Nate had a good night. I mean, those kind of things are – that's probably what they're going to have to do. They don't necessarily have a dominant center or centers. But with that said, I think another guy that's starting to kind of get a feel is Doreen Buka. He was pretty good last night. I don't have the box right in front of me, but probably played the most minutes of his short K-State career to this point. He affected some plays. I'm going to say it was a pretty good effort for the most part, but you're right. If they can continue to make that progress with the turnovers and rebounding and then figure out a way to adjust to the adjustments, as you said, in the second half, now you got something. And this is such an interesting stretch coming up, as you know. We've got Mississippi State Thursday night at T-Mobile and then either Nebraska or New Mexico after that. And then Monday we leave and go to Bloomington to take on Indiana next Tuesday. So huge stretch coming up.
Yeah, how about a Mississippi State game at midnight, basically? How late can they make these games, Wyatt? What are they doing to you? Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Cats, joining us here. We'll switch over to football because it's kind of the same story, ironically, against the team from Oklahoma that they've, you know, played down to a little bit. You can make that argument. But the fact of the matter is that I feel like the coaching staff and the players and even the fans a little bit are wrestling with the fact of, like, that was, you know, kind of an ugly win, and you don't have a great taste in your mouth about it, but you also won in Stillwater, which you haven't done in a while.
That's perfectly said, because it was not pretty. I didn't think K-State played with a lot of passion. I've had several people say things like this to me, and I understand it. They played at Kansas like it was important to them and it meant something to them, and I think that's accurate. I don't think they necessarily did that on Saturday. Coach mentioned something at the press conference on Monday that surprised me a little bit in saying that they played probably a little bit tight and not to lose. Those guys understand. They know K-State had won in my time. They had won one time there back in 2017 and lost a lot of close games, 45-42 and 38-35 and those kind of games. It's not like they've played awful there, but it is hard to win there. And I understand Oklahoma State's not bad. I'm not trying to say that they're really a good football team, because they're struggling. But on this particular day, they were playing, you know, more sound and with a lot more juice. And I think that showed. And I understand too, you score 14 points and win a game, that's pretty rare. So depending on how you look at it, I thought the defense was good, but the offense, not so much.
Yep. Well, it you know, you just got to win them. I mean, honestly, you just got to win them at this point. You're a win away now from a bowl game. They're going to be somewhat hobbled going into Utah against a Utah team trying to make the college football playoff right now. Is it a going to need the best game of the year kind of a situation for K-State to go get it done now before the finale next week?
I think you could probably make that argument, Jacob, because in studying these guys for the last several weeks, I think they probably have the most physical offensive line, maybe the best offensive line in the Big 12. They have two pro tackles on the offensive line. Their running backs are good. They have two quarterbacks that scare the hell out of you in the run game. There's a lot to be concerned about. And then there's their defense. I mean, a couple of thoughts here for you there. They're averaging about 40 points a game. Here's what bothers me. They rush for 278 yards a game, fellas, for the season. That's 83 yards better than the next best team in our conference. That's crazy.
That's a lot.
And their defense is very stout, very physical, and very deep. I believe in studying these guys, and again, I'm not a coach. I always like to say that because everybody knows I'm not. But their secondary is good. You're playing without Jace Brown. You hope you get J.B. Bradley back, but it's going to be like pulling teeth against those guys. I mean, you better open it up and rock and roll. And I'm not saying that's just the only thing, but it's you're going to have to try to match their physicality. You got to try to, you know, win on first down, get off the field on third down defensively, those types of things. You almost equate it to probably Tech. The difference is we're on the road this time in a really hard environment. So it's a real challenge for sure. I think they're it's hard for me to say that they're better than Tech, and it's hard for me to say that they're better than BYU, but they could be better than BYU. I think they could beat BYU on a neutral field. They didn't beat them in Provo, but it was 24-21 in anybody's game. So it gives you an idea they're pretty damn good.
Yeah, well, the thing about it, too, is the fact that, you know, Utah is pretty damn good. And K-State, in the last, you know, 10 days, have lost officially Dylan Edwards. Austin Romaine is shut down for the rest of the year. Jace Brown is probably done for the rest of the year, it sounds like. You might not have Bradley. Like, this is like a bowl game roster that we're going to see after people hit the transfer portal, technically. You know, that's what it seems like. It feels like, you know, like, what roster will we see?
Well, you make a good point because nobody likes excuses, and that is true. But let's be honest. If you don't think injuries have been a big part of this, then you're not paying much attention because, I mean, just with Romaine and Osun Sami by themselves, that's probably the two best defensive players K-State has, and they're both out. Jace Brown, you could argue that if going into the year he was either their first, second, or third best big play option behind and or around Dylan and Avery, and now he's out. And coach has basically, you know, admitted to the fact that he's done for the season. You got to have some young guys step up, and it's hard in that environment and against that group. I mentioned the secondary because, you know, without Jace, even with Jace, it's going to be hard to get things against them because of their corners and their safety play. They have three corners, including their nickel, who are better than most. And so that's why it's a challenge. You're going to have some semblance of a run game. And they rush for 100 yards against Tech, so they could probably do that here, but they need to play with some passion and make some plays. And it's as simple as that. You probably have to play a little bit of, if not quite a bit above what you've been lately. And if you do that, maybe you have a chance. We'll see.
It will be a tough test, but this is where that Avery Johnson factor, I think, can come into play. If all else fails and he can be pesky on the ground, you just never know. It's certainly what Utah's worried about this week, I would imagine, as they try to get into a CFP. I mean, their hair is going to be on fire for this one.
Yeah, and that's, again, Coach was asked Monday at the presser about, you know, the crowd there and the atmosphere. And he said, hey, I've never been there, but just what other coaches around the league have told me, it is a bear to play there. They are really into it. And you're right. They have so much on the line. And I understand why they think this. They think they're as good as the other two teams in the league.
Yeah.
Right. They just do. And I think in some areas they definitely are, and maybe a little better in some areas. Again, I don't want to say that they're better defensively than Tech, because I think Tech's really good, but they're not too far behind. I'm sitting here looking at John Henry Daly at a defensive end, one of the top sack guys in the country, not just the Big 12, in that secondary. I mean, Teo Johnson, Nate Ritchie, Blake Cotton, Smith Snowden. Can't even describe to you fellas how much football those guys have played. This is a veteran, hard-nosed defense.
It is. As they get down the final stretch, two games left. It's going to Utah, then they host Colorado for the final game of the year. The story that is easy to follow is you need one more win to get to that bowl eligibility. In this day and age of college football, it's changed, and there's no lying that it hasn't changed. The bowl games aren't, as important as they used to be, but I think the biggest factor now is the extra practices, I would imagine. Are they talking about that? Do they understand, that they need one more, everything like that?
Oh, yeah. I think it's always on their mind. I even asked Will Ancio about that this week, and as one example. And he said, yeah, it's their focus now. This hasn't been what any of us wanted, and everybody understands that. The goals and the sights that were set in the beginning, they're not even in the hemisphere of that. No. But I think it would be good for this team to get into a bowl game and play one. And for a lot of reasons, like you said, I mean, you want to keep, even though this hasn't been what they've wanted, a bowl season would help them, I think, moving forward. I always have believed, and somebody prove me wrong if they want, I always believed it helps recruiting. Now, is it the same playing in Memphis or Shreveport as it is New Orleans in the Sugar Bowl? No. But they'd still be going, right? And I think that's the way you have to look at it.
Yeah, it still puts them on a national stage. I think there's something to that. Wyatt, you guys will have it for us on Saturday, 3 o'clock. You'll hear it right here on KFH, home of Wildcat Athletics. Enjoy the trip to Utah. Hopefully it is enjoyable. K-State, a 17.5-point underdog. I can't remember the last time we've seen something like that. So it's going to take a Herculean effort, I think, from the guys out there to try and pull off a special Saturday on the road in one of the toughest places to play in all of college football.
I'm not too sure you wouldn't have to go back to the 2003 championship game to see K-State being a bigger underdog than this.
What happened in that game?
I don't know that. Haven't researched it, but that's a pretty mighty underdog at 17.
And what happened in that game?
Yeah, 35-7 Cats.
That's right. I remember that.
Like it was yesterday.
As well before I got into this part of the world, man, I remember that game. I remember where I was, a freshman in college. That was a wild one. That was a wild one. All right, Wyatt. Well, enjoy the trip. We'll be back here next week. Talk all about it.
Wish we could use Darren Sproles in the game Saturday, too. That might help.
So I was just thinking of it. I was like, yeah, those Sproles game.
See you guys.
See you, Wyatt. Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats. Man, I do remember that. I was at my roommate's girlfriend's house watching that with a bunch of volleyball players. Just like, what is happening? This is one of the greatest upsets. And I hated Oklahoma at that point. But that was a fun game.
Man, 17.5. I didn't see that line yet. That's crazy.
17.5. I believe it. K-State's so hobbled coming in.
I know.
So hobbled coming into that game. Maybe a good day.
We got breaking news. Taylor Eldridge of the Eagle just tweeted that the Wichita Open is leaving the Corn Ferry Tour and is joining the PGA Americas Tour.
Yeah, we knew that. We knew that. That had come down. I don't know what it'll mean just yet. That news has been out there. The tournament, I would imagine, largely will stay the same for us as consumers. The players will just change. It's been a whole thing to try to. It's a little silly to me, and I don't know all the behind the scenes details on it. But if I'm the Corn Ferry, it gets into this, like. To me, on it, the Corn Ferry would be crazy. It's the biggest purse. It's the biggest crowds. It's all of these things, but it's so closely tied to that PGA Tour that they're so restrictive and needy in what they need the course to do. That's, I think, what we're dealing with here. So it's who knows how long. But again, and when I first heard this a little while ago, I wondered, are people going to care about this? I mean, you're probably a casual golf fan, TJ. What, like, are you going to care about this?
I mean, I'm currently Googling who plays on the PGA Americas Tour.
Okay, don't do that. Don't do that. Tell me right now, outside of the locals, can you name me three players that are on the Corn Ferry Tour next year?
next year. I could name you the ones that are on it this year. I don't know where it's going to be next year. I mean, Blades Brown is on the tour.
Do you know who any of these players are before you look at them when they come to play in the Wichita Open?
I mean, I'm not closely following the Corn Ferry Tour, but I know of them because of their, you know, their notable golf. Like Neil Shipley was in Wichita this past year. That was a Corn Ferry golfer.
Is that the Texas guy?
No, that's the guy that played with Tiger in the Masters as the amateur.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know any of these guys anyway. So to me, it doesn't mean anything. Like, I don't care. But it might. And I'm not saying that as like, that's how it's going. I don't know. That's why I asked the question. Like, for me, it's just a community event that's super fun. And I don't think that, you know, if we were losing the PGA Tour, that would be one thing. But I think we're dealing with amateur golfers one way or the other. I think the Corn Ferry Tour is insane for this, by the way. Again, biggest purse, biggest crowds, biggest event, but they get tethered to things that are outside of everybody's control. So, you know, I don't know what the
when,
I don't know
when
what
did we learn about this. This is like the first
They'd sent something out a little while ago. I just don't think people really I can't put my Twitter is down just like our ability to do this, so I can't even see it. I'm not sure what's being reported here this morning, but this is not the first I've heard of this news. So we'll just play that by ear. I don't know what to make of it yet. I need just like I didn't then, I don't now. I would need to know. Like I don't know that I'm going to know what to make of it until the event happens. I just don't think.
Yeah, for the fan viewing experience, it's not going to be different.
Right. And that's, and ultimately to me, that's all that matters. Like, I just want a great community event. You know, is it going to be, you know, they have good players too, though. I mean, they have good players. They're just, again, like it's one step. It's like AA, AAA probably would be a fair equivalent, to it. And again, you're going to get great golf. You're going to get a fun event. Does it matter? We'll find out. We'll find out. I'm not sure what to make of it, and I'm not sure how long this lasts and how temporary it is. What I do know and what drives me absolutely crazy about it is we could go along the Corn Ferry Tour this year and see a lot of sites with nobody there, right? Like, we know that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's been.
Why in the world would they not just make sure this event – not I'm saying they as in the tour. Anybody that – anything here locally?
I don't know. It sounds more so, reading Taylor's story here, is that it's they're like restructuring what the minor league system of golf looks like. And I think that they're moving some Corn Ferry, like less Corn Ferry stuff and more of the PGA America. I'm not really sure exactly what it is, but apparently a lot of long time Corn Ferry sites have gotten dropped and there's just not going to be a tournament anymore. And so Wichita made sure to land somewhere is what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's silly. If there is a minor league tour, it needs to make a stop at Crestview Country Club, where the most festive, fun, and biggest pursed event exists. I'll bet you the players aren't happy about it. You know, like at what point are we, what are we doing here? Like, who is this even for? But it'll be put on a great event just like it always is. And it'll be the Wichita Open more than it is the Corn Ferry Tour. In my opinion, it'll be more that it's the Wichita Open. And I don't care what is playing there because it's a big, fun community event that raises a bunch of charity money and has a lot of fun. And so we'll have to get more details on it as we get closer to it next summer, based on what we saw out of the community this year. And even getting that thing operational after the storm that blew through and annihilated everything, I'll bet you the community's itching and gearing up for a good time. Now, does it have a date yet? Does he have a date on that?
It's going to be the same. It's going to be the same. It's the middle of June.
It goes back to Father's Day weekend this year?
I don't know. I don't know if it's exactly Father's Day, but it's still that same June-ish slot.
We'll have to get some details on that. We'll get somebody in here to talk to us about it that can explain a little bit more of what's going on at some point in the time coming as it gets a little bit closer. But yeah, boy, it's I don't know. I don't know if it's a bummer or not. I don't think it is. I don't think it matters. I'll be perfectly honest. I think the golf event is more than the tour that plays on it. That's my opinion. Golfers might tell me something otherwise. Really diehard golf people, but I'll be curious to see it. That's for sure. And I think they're crazy for not doing everything they can to have that event. Some headlines before we get into college basketball. We want to make sure we have enough time for college basketball in the next segment. Did you see Ja'Marr Chase suspended for a game? For $500,000. Why is it? What is this sensation to spit on people? We saw it in the opener.
Spit on somebody?
Yeah. Like, have you ever in your entire life been inspired to spit on somebody? I know that it's like this ultimate sign of disrespect. Like, what would you rather be? Slapped or spit on? What would make you angrier?
Getting spit on. That's disgusting.
Yeah, why is that the thing that you go to? Like, if you're in a standoff with somebody jawing, who spits on somebody?
I mean, if you're wearing helmets, slapping isn't going to do much.
What a weird thing to do, though, right? Like, did you just spit on me?
It feels very like Romeo and Juliet, like a old Shakespearean. I spit on you, sir.
Like, what a weird thing to do. And we see it now. We've seen it. We saw it. Who was it in the opener that did that? It got kicked out of the game. It was Jalen Carter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what? Why are you spitting on somebody? Punch him. Hit him. Do something else. Like, don't spit on him. That's weird.
So spit is disgusting. I can't stand spit.
I'm not grossed out by it or anything. I just can't imagine like getting to the point where I was inspired to spit on somebody. Cost him $500,000. $500,000 for that loogie. Did he even get a loogie? I didn't see it. I didn't watch the video. Did he even get a loogie in there, or was it just saliva? Not.
If it was a loogie, it might have been a full million in two games. That's
a loogie.
That'd be so gross.
Speaking of loogies, apologies to everybody watching on the video stream right now. I look like crap here this morning. I don't know if you've been married long enough to get to this point, TJ. I got home last night and I can feel something coming. This throat's a little scratchy or whatever. And I just like give it like a, like across the house. And I hear my wife say, "Did you just cough?" And I know what's coming. Like, getting sick is so inconvenient for our wives, and they have like zero sympathy. And I'm like trying to hide it because I just don't even want to hear it. And it's just like one throat clear, and it's like the radar goes off. It's like, what was that? What was that? I'm like, I don't know. I cleared my throat.
Start pumping drugs down your throat.
Oh God, are you sick? I don't know. I don't know. Am I? It's funny. You see all those funny videos too, and it's like it's universal. It's just like one of those stereotypes that goes through, and it cracks me up every time. I knew it was coming. Thanks for hanging with us here this morning through it. Thanks to Wyatt Thompson, by the way. If you missed it on the Odyssey app, you can go back and listen in podcast form. We are just a couple minutes away from our second hour, and we'll spend some time today with college basketball. We had K-State last night. Well, we've got an interesting night of college basketball coming tonight. Wichita State and KU, both heavy underdogs. Now, KU, you'd expect that, right? If Darren Peterson doesn't play, and the expectation is he doesn't, and Duke looks really good, and it is jarring to ever see KU that heavy an underdog. And I would, by the way, I would take the points tonight. I would take the points. That's a lot of points, even without Darren Peterson. But it's not just that. It's Wichita State is a heavy underdog.
That one, I'm so excited about, because like I've talked to you about this. Like, the best thing you can do for people like us and people in Wichita that follow mid-majors closely, like Wichita State, Vegas has no idea. And they don't adjust until about conference play. So it's like, if you've got something that you think is hot, as much as we think the Shockers are hot right now, like, this is where you strike, is this game. Because all they're doing is, I just follow the trends here. If you go look at any mid-major college basketball game that's on DraftKings, because they're incredible, like, they have every game on there, every single line is just based on KenPom. They just say, oh, yeah, well, they're 50, so they should win by double digits probably.
Well, and that's exactly what happened. Boise, right? Boise still is in the 50s, I believe. Yep. The metrics really like Boise. They're top, what is it? And again, KenPom is down with the same issue. Twitter is down this morning. By the way, if you're just waking up or getting your car, there's some kind of internet issue here this morning, nationwide, it sure looks like. But yesterday when I looked, I think they were top 80 in offensive and defensive efficiency. I know they were under 100, and Wichita State's still on the other side of 100 on that. So, yeah, the metrics do like Boise, even with that bad loss they had, quite a bit. We'll talk about that game. We'll talk about KU, Darren Peterson situation. We can go to Monday Night Football as well in the next hour. It's all coming up for you on Sports Daily. Don't go away. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on this Tuesday. Thanks for tuning in here on KFH. Max Power has your hotline at 869-1240. Thanks for watching us. 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, as there is an outage on X here this morning. We got a lot of college basketball to get you ready for this evening. We'll do that. We've got Monday Night Football to review. Our thanks to Wyatt Thompson for joining in the first hour. If you missed anything on K-State, they're thrilling. Very down to the wire win last night at home against Tulsa. It's all what's on tap for you here today, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for holiday fun, beers with the boys, girls' night out, a glass of wine with a longtime friend. WBC, the place where groups gather for the holidays, East West Historic Delano, Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. All right, let's go a little Monday Night Football here off the top, and then we'll get into college hoops in our full segment coming up after this. TJ, I think if you're a Chiefs fan here today, you don't love what you saw last night, because the Cowboys are one of those games where you'd hoped that you might be able to get one in. They were a team that was under 500, but they went and they made a bunch of trades on defense. They're getting healthier on defense. So they made a trade for two players that are immediate upgrades for them, and they get a player or two back from injury after the bye. And all of a sudden, that was a pretty impressive defensive performance last night. Not that the Raiders are great, but Dallas typically doesn't play good on the road. They played good on the road. We know those wide receivers are unbelievable. And that game is in Dallas on Thanksgiving. If I'm a Chiefs fan last night, I don't love what I saw, because Dallas in Dallas is not going to be easy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that we've been talking about, is this Chiefs schedule and where can the easy wins come. You know, you look at the Titans down there in the schedule, and you know, you'll play the Raiders again, I believe, in that final week of the season, are ones that you could have circled. And you know, Dallas is one as a team that was, you know, what, 3-5, that you know, 3-6 if you want to count the tie or something, of like, that's a team that could be one of them. But it's in Jerry World, it's on Thanksgiving, when they always play. Like, if you're this Chiefs team, honestly, I don't think it matters who you're playing right now. I think that they're all a little stressful for the way the Chiefs are playing.
Yeah, they're all stressful, and it matters, you know, home and road. The Chiefs have been much better at home. I think it's okay to start really dissecting this thing. But the Chiefs' big wins this year, the Ravens, the Lions, like, they have looked really good at home and really bad on the road. The Jacksonville loss was on the road. The Buffalo game was on the road. Of course, most recently against Denver, like, the offense has just not been nearly as good playing away from home. And they better figure that out, because now one of your road games is Dallas. Now, the good news is the other two are the Tennessee and the Raiders game. So if we're talking about schedule, the good news is most of these games are at Arrowhead, and most of the difficult ones are still at home. They've looked really good, really good at home. Their last three home games, TJ, have basically been 90-24, you know, is the outcome there. And one of those games is against the Lions. So you do feel good about that. That's why they're still being given a pretty good chance to get in, still being given a pretty good chance you know, and they haven't like totally fallen off and all the odds and things. But, you know, the playoff path goes on the road this year now, and you just, they have no wiggle room. And this does not feel like a team that can have no wiggle room, but that's the reality that faces them. So if you put a number on it, based on what we saw against Dallas last night, knowing that that's now one of these games and they probably can only afford one more loss. Maybe it's two if they get lucky, but it's probably one to be sure of it. What are you giving them? What are their chances? Give me a percentage. The chances that they make the postseason.
The Chiefs make the postseason?
Yeah.
I mean, 55.
I'm going to call it 50-50. I'm going to call it 50-50.
I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and give them the five there. But they're like, I mean, it's still like the chances that they make the postseason and the odds of it happening, like not Vegas odds, like the literal, like the, you know, statistics class, like of all the things that have to go right, it's stacked against the Chiefs.
But like, well, the whatever the analytics thing that CBS Sports uses, for instance, gives them a 57% chance to make it. Yep. Round up, it's 58% chance to make it right now. They have to beat the Chargers because they're going to need to not have that tiebreaker looming, I think, when the time comes. So they'll have to win that one. That's probably the most must win of their remaining games. Like if they're going to lose one, it can't be that one. Indianapolis is not a threat. You're not going to catch Indianapolis at this point. Houston is a team that they're tied with right now. So if you then go a little further, it becomes Houston and the Chargers are the games they cannot lose. And those are both home games. They come back to back actually.
You know, it would be really nice if the Chiefs beat the Jaguars.
Oh, dude, I can't tell you how much brain space that game lives in for me.
It's going to be the reason they don't make the playoffs.
I cannot get over the fact that they lost that game. How ridiculous and stupid it was that they lost that game. How much that game feels like it's going to play into the ultimate implications of things. Like, that is as infuriating a loss as I can remember in a long time. Even with the Denver game, right? Like, look, they missed a lot of opportunities, but they didn't blow it necessarily. Like they didn't have it. They didn't snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory so much. They had opportunities that they missed. And boy, I went back and looking back at more of that game and just the missed throws from Mahomes, man, the two early deep balls that they didn't hit that were both, one of was for sure going to be a touchdown, but you miss both of those throws, the interception in the red zone. And then that third down, I can't get over that third down where he threw it behind Breshard Smith. And I don't know if that was his fault or Smith's fault. I'm not sure, but it was just a missed chance to run some more clock. And I'm just like, God, like, that you take for granted that they just don't miss those over the years here during this dynasty all that often, right? And they don't have that wiggle room. And when you watch a team like Dallas last night, Dallas, I don't know how good Dallas is going to be defensively in general, how much better they'll be, because they were clearly better last night than they had been. But the one thing they did last night consistently, and it was against one of the worst offensive lines in football, but they put a lot of pressure on Geno Smith. A lot of pressure on Geno Smith. And that's a problem if you're Kansas City, because as good as Kansas City's defense is, at home, you think you're going to hold that offense to under 20? Probably not. Probably not, right, with those receivers and their ability to run the football. So that one, that was not a good thing for the Chiefs to see last night, or Chiefs fans anyway, to see Dallas look that much better defensively in that game on the road. They usually suck on the road. They looked really good last night.
Yeah. I mean, I think honestly, as I brought up after that Broncos game yesterday, is that like at this point with the way that the playoff picture has shaped up, like the Chiefs schedule is so good. Like they're going to play like the Texans and the Chargers. And I think those are the two that will actually have any meeting, and the rest of the, like, they're just hoping other people mess up at this point. Like Like, they control their own destiny per se still. Like, I mean, they do. But, like, they also need people to lose games. Like,
yes.
And they're not going to play all of these teams.
They lose so many tiebreakers. They were a game behind Jacksonville and they'll lose a tiebreaker. So they're two games behind Jacksonville. Jacksonville has left on their schedule 4 road games, 3 home games, Arizona, Tennessee, the Colts, the Jets, the Broncos, the Colts, and Tennessee. I'll be stunned if Jacksonville doesn't lose 2 of those games, right? You know, at Arizona, Indianapolis twice, at Denver. I'll be pretty surprised. Good on them if they don't, but I'll be pretty surprised. You play the Chargers. You're a game and a half behind the Chargers, who have their bye week this week. You'll play them, so you can end up tied in the loss column. You can pass Houston, right? The problem is, yes, you're asking for other things to happen to other teams. At the same time, as you still have 7 games to go, and you can, I'm telling you, you can probably only lose one of them to guarantee it. 2 of them is where all these tiebreakers you're talking about come into play. And right now, like, if they come in there with 6 losses or with 7 losses,
I mean, like, listen to this scenario.
Like, tiebreakers.
If they lose to the Colts on Sunday, and then what's the schedule? Is it Colts? And then
what happens to the Colts? What's so funny about it is the Colts are probably, if they're going to lose one, and we're not talking about Tennessee or the Raiders, even though those are road games, which I guess should be a little troubling the way they played on the road. But if we're talking about Colts, Cowboys, Texans, Chargers.
Cowboys, duh.
I mean,
hear me out. They lose one of them between the Colts and the Cowboys. They lose to the Texans on December 7th. They're done. They're out of the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I don't think what you just laid out is coming true, but that would definitely knock them out. They've been really good at home. We'll see this weekend. It'll be a great test, the home game against the Colts at least. All right, we're coming back. Let's talk a little college hoops when we return. Shockers, Jayhawks, both big underdogs. Who's got a better chance to prove them wrong tonight? We'll discuss.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. You can't count on much these days. You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games all season long. Here we go. Week 12 matchup, Colts, Chiefs. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Another game you'll see, of course, on KWCH 12, 12 News. Thanks for watching us right now on 12 News Connected. We'll be there. Yeah, you're sending Rachel this week up to Arrowhead.
We are.
It's down to 3 points. Remember like yesterday we were talking about it? It was sitting at, what was it, 4.5 already to three?
I want to see it flip. Whew. It's a long ways away.
It's not going to flip. The Chiefs aren't going to be dogs at home, but it may get closer. Look. It Indiana Jones going to beat him through the air. Jonathan Taylor's going to get his against anybody, but the Chiefs run defense has been pretty good this year.
This has got to be like the Colts. This is the one where if the Colts win, everybody's going to be like, "Oh my gosh, the Colts are freaking good."
For sure. For sure. I think everybody's already there. You know, their point differential and everything is already really good. So, you know, you get into it and you dig through and they do a lot of things. They've got a great line. They've got a great run game. They've got a ton of pass catchers. Their defense is pretty good. Like they have it all. It's just, is Daniel Jones for real or not? That becomes the thing for them. And we got to remember, he got a big contract for a reason, right? He was highly thought of prior to the last 2 years when they went into the postseason. Who they beat in that postseason to get there? Somebody well expected to do whatever, but we'll see. It's going to be a challenge. I am not comfortable with the Chiefs right now against the Colts, even at home, but. Am I comfortable picking against the Chiefs at home? I'm not sure about that yet either. It may take until Friday to get that full pick. All right, you've got the Shockers. Let's talk college hoops. 9.5-point dogs, true road game against Boise. You've got KU. Now I'm seeing it at 10.5. When I first looked this morning, it was at 11.5, so that's interesting. Remember, this is a neutral site game for Kansas against Duke. Duke is loaded, as they usually are. Cam Boozer, the freshman. This class of basketball looks fantastic. He's averaging 22-10 in his young career thus far. So they look like they're every bit of it. And Kansas doesn't have the pesky older players to get after it with a young guy. So it's going to be tough. There's no way to like feel good about it. Peterson's probably not going to play. Like I will be surprised if Peterson plays. I guess we can't rule it out, but it sure seems unlikely.
Yeah, I can't imagine he's going to play. Like Bill Self is never Bill Self never does that kind of thing. And I think Bill Self saying immediate future, like, he wouldn't say that if it was 2 days and then he's like, he could play on Tuesday, unless something drastically changed where, like, he tried it out and he was full sprinting and it was fine. Like, but at that point, I think we go back to that original conspiracy conversation about, like, well, why is he not playing against Princeton, but he's going to play against Duke? That kind of seems shady. So but I don't think he's going to play. Long story short, he's not going to play. Yeah, I think that it's a lot of points to give the Jayhawks, and it always will be if you ever give them 11 points like that. But, you know, Duke obviously has their star freshman who's looked great as well. I don't know their whole roster after they just lost, you know, the entire team to the NBA that just went to the national or Final Four last year. And so it's going to be a big spot. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think that if KU can find a way to, I mean, I don't know, I want to say win. I think if KU can find a way to keep it within 10, then I think you'll be kind of pleased if they don't have Darren Peterson on the court.
What if Peterson does play?
What are you asking me?
What's your expectation? What if Peterson does play?
Oh, for the game?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that they could win. They're the best player in the country. Depends how much he's going to play.
Yeah. I don't think it's as ironclad maybe as you do that he's not going to play. I mean, I still think there was a there's at least a reasonable possibility that they have been trying to keep him fresh and could roll him out in this game. He was, you know, he's got a hand. What's interesting is he's got the hamstring injury, but we've seen him play with it because now we're hearing like it wasn't cramps, right? It was a hamstring. Well, we've seen him play through the cramps and he still looks pretty good. So if you were going to hold him back, this is maybe the game you deploy him. I'm not as sold as you that there's no chance he plays. I think there's some chance he plays.
I don't know. I think that if he plays, like, I think that there's going to be questions to answer from Bill Self.
What questions?
How can you say that he's out for the immediate future and then he plays two days later?
The immediate future is that game, that day at practice. He's saying immediate future. He's not saying he's out indefinitely. Immediate future is like right now. Immediate future is 1 second from now. Like,
who cares? Who cares if he can practice on Sunday? He was saying that about the game. There's no way he's going to play.
But like, what are you worried about if he plays? That everyone's like, well, you said he was out for the immediate future. I mean, I think Bill Self
this is the reason why, and coaches like don't like it, that the Big 12 injury report in football, which is a thing in basketball, I think, that'll go into effect for conference games, but it doesn't for this game. But, like, I mean,
Bill Self, I think a part of the problem is he has not handled it well, but then I also try to think of, like, what's he supposed to say? He's going to be out for 7 days. Like, he doesn't know. He doesn't know how long he's going to be out. And so he's being asked this, and it's like, well, he's out for the immediate future, like, which basically to me tells me, like, he's not here right now. But we're now, how many days clear of that game are we?
Three games. Three days.
They play Saturday, so... You know, if he was close Saturday,
then you say he's day to day. You don't say he's out for the immediate future.
He doesn't know what to say about it. That's what I'm saying. Like, he doesn't. Like, I don't
say that you don't know.
Let me go. I don't think Peterson's going to play tonight. Okay, I don't think he will, because if there's any, like, if it's lingering at all, I wouldn't play him. Like, I know we all want Kansas to go show up and beat Duke, and this is a big game for them in recruiting and all of these things. Like, it's not meaningless, but Kansas doesn't have to have it, right? It's not, it's just another game on their schedule. Kansas gets all they want in the Big 12. So it's not like there's some team that this could determine ultimately their tournament fate down the road at some point in the NCAA tournament. I mean, I suppose that could still happen, but
looks a lot better.
It does, but you count on the Big 12 to provide you what you need to get into the NCAA tournament. But it is a big deal when Kansas is in the mix for some of the best players in the country constantly. I saw, by the way, you'll have to help me with this. I saw a bunch of passive aggressive tweeting yesterday and, like, people trying to say something without saying something. like the with the gifts and everything in the KU blog sphere? Any idea what any of that was about? Did they land somebody?
I have no idea.
Okay. You've got to be my translator on this stuff.
I'm sorry.
You got to be my
I'm flying blind right now that I can't just peruse what is Twitter for the music.
What's the guy, the Guardians of the Galaxy guy, that gif where he has like, oh, you know, Chris Pratt, like yeah. that. I saw that one, but nobody ever says anything. I'm like, well, what the hell? Like, just either tell us or don't tell us. I didn't know if they landed somebody yesterday. I know they've been on, of course, Stokes, and that's a part of the reason I think a lot of people are, Shri Islata especially, who's our KU insider, is like, guys, he's like actively trying to help players come to Kansas. Like, he's bought in. He's hurt. And I believe that. I believe that 100%. You've got to, if yourself and your this coaching staff, you have to protect him again. You don't think Darren Peterson wants to play tonight?
I know.
I mean, this is a big deal.
He's hurt.
Cam Boozer's sitting there. People are trying to say Cam Boozer might be the best guy. Of course he wants to play.
I know
you
he does.
Protect him against himself too.
Yes, 100%. He's hurt. He's not going to play. I like if that. We'll go back to this conversation because there's just like if he was going to play, then Bill Self would. And if he doesn't know, that's fine because injuries change. But if that's the case, you go into that press conference and whenever somebody asks, you just say, "Guys, I don't know. It's just a lingering thing. Like we're gonna get it as soon as we can. We'll figure it out." But you don't go there and say, "You know, he's gonna be out for the immediate future." Like. If you are saying that in the terms of he might play Tuesday, then you cannot say the immediate future.
He can say whatever he wants, by the way. Like Bill Self doesn't care.
He's gonna get if he plays, like I think that he might get an earful from Brett Yorm or somebody. Like, because there's Vegas line. Like, this is a big deal now. This is why the injury report is a thing. They made a betting line based on the fact that Darren Peterson's probably not gonna play because Bill Self said he's out for the immediate future. If he plays,
does not care.
I know
about
he doesn't
the Vegas
care.
Betting line,
but I bet that Brett Yormark probably cares.
What did he say that's dishonest? He was out for the immediate future. He was out in
for
that game
practice on Sunday.
Maybe.
He said it after the game.
So what? He doesn't practice. They test it before the game, and his hamstring feels okay, and they let him play. I don't think he's going to get a full workload. I don't think he'll play either. But I'm not going to give it an ironclad. He's not playing. Because this whole thing has been hard to follow and weird. So I think there can absolutely be a world where he gets out there on this stage and gives it a go. Either way, they're big underdogs. They'd be underdogs even if he was playing. You know, if he played, I would bet this line goes down to like maybe 5.5. Duke's still going to be favored. Duke appears to have at the moment a better roster. Whether they would at the end of the season, I think time will tell. But it's a big opportunity for a guy like Flory Badunga. It's a big opportunity for a guy like Cole Rosario. And every game that Peterson doesn't play, as we've mentioned, is a tremendous opportunity for the role players on this team to step into those roles.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. If they can keep this game within 10 and make a competitive game against Duke, who's a top
team
in the country.
They better be able to keep it within 10. Like the Kansas, like there are no excuses if they get blown out in this game.
I just asked you yesterday if the team didn't have Darren Peterson this year, like they might not be a tournament team. Like that's the kind
correct.
Of team that loses to Duke by 15 points. So what's the big deal if they don't keep it within 10?
Well, it's a big deal for Kansas. Is it a big deal for reality for us on the outside? No, probably not. But for on the inside, like, yeah, you better think you can go play within 10 to Duke.
You should, but it's not going to be a disappointment if you don't have the guy that scores all of your points on the court.
Well, Flory Badunga just scored 25. They'll be internally, and I'm telling KU fans will lose their minds. Like the diehard KU fans, they're gonna say the season's over. That'll be the reaction. Some people are saying that after they win a game.
Hold on.
Season's over. They're not doing anything.
8:29 on a Tuesday morning. Tomorrow we're going to check back at 7:16. We'll start that first segment. There will be I'll find 10 tweets saying that Bill Self should be fired.
Oh, for sure. That's what I'm saying. Like, so
I might even say 20 tweets tomorrow morning. We'll find about Bill Self being fired.
The absolute reality is it's November. It will be November 19th, and who cares? that's real life. But that's not college fan life. Real life is who cares? Like, I don't care if they beat Duke by 20. Who cares? right? Like, I'll like it.
They beat Duke. They beat Duke. What, last year? Was that last year or 2 years ago? That they beat Duke.
Yes.
And then they skidded forever.
The hilarity to me this year, TJ, of the overreactions to November games after Kansas has been the best November team the last 2 years and ultimately fallen flat. I mean, it cracks me up. Kansas is not, this is not a team built to win on November 19th. Let's see if they start winning on February 19th, because that's been the problem the last 2 years, is they didn't get any better. Yeah, but it's a lot.
We've had this conversation, and I feel like I'd much rather be in the other boat of being good in November, because it's a lot easier to fall from grace than it is to rise to glory. Like, if you're,
I just don't think that's true. I think if you're truly having a good year, you are consistently raising the bar and getting better. Now, there are teams like, let's call it Houston last year, right, where they just were good and stayed good, but they had everybody back, right? That's the problem for Kansas, is they had everybody back and they never got any better. Look at Florida last year. Florida was not the best team on November 19th. They just kept getting better.
They beat the hell out of the Shockers,
and that was where we were all kind of like, "What was that?" Right? That Florida team looked really good, but they did. They continuously got better over the course of the year. For Kansas this year, like, I don't want them peaking on November 18th against Duke at Madison Square Garden, which is where they peaked the last 2 years, was in these early games on a big stage, because these other teams with talented young players or a bunch of new players, they consistently got better. So for Kansas, like, all I want to know is that in 2 months, they're better than they were tonight. Win, lose, or draw, are they getting better? Is what ultimately will make the difference. It hasn't been good enough the last couple of years to be really good in mid-November. So, but the reactions to it, whatever happens tonight, are going to be overreactions. No matter what happens tonight, we'll overreact. We won't. Fans will largely overreact to it in the grand scheme of things. But in the grand scheme of things, the reality is they have so many things to figure out about this team. Like, what do we know for a fact about this team right now at 8:33 on November 18th? What can you tell me for fact about Kansas?
Nothing.
That Flory Badunga is a freak athlete?
Doesn't mean anything. Like, that doesn't translate to points, as we've seen.
Well, he's been a better offensive player than I thought he would be so far. I think that's a fantastic development in the story of this season. His ability on the offensive end so far has really been a great thing to see. I didn't know he'd be there that quickly. He's been fantastic if he's on the floor. But, like, and even after tonight, what are we going to be able to definitively say about this team? Probably two things: that Flory's for real and an offensive threat, and that Cole Rosario is going to be able to be a factor this year. What I don't think we'll see is anybody else on the roster take some massive step forward tonight. I hope I'm wrong about that, but I don't think we're going to see that tonight. And if Darren Peterson plays, then it's just going to be fun, right? Then it's just going to be a really fun game to watch and see. It'll be fun to see Peterson go up against Boozer. I'm with you. I don't think he will, but I'm just trying to put in perspective where we are in a season that is, it was already going to be full of unknowns. And now with the Peterson stuff, it's even more of an unknown for Kansas. And we're just like, you got to just live there and be comfortable with that.
I agree. I mean, I don't know. I really have no idea what to think of KU. Like, this is the one, because every time that we've seen them play without Darren Peterson, it's been against bad teams. So it's like, what does that look like against a good team if there is no Darren Peterson? I think that will answer a lot of the questions.
It's a crazy time of year for that, TJ, in our world on the outside. I really don't have time to be sick. It's a big bad timing to be sick.
Figure it out.
I figure it out. We'll be fine. We'll get there. Load up on the meds. I appreciate everybody bearing with that. It's a good day for Twitter to be down. And the stream get a little. Oh, it is back. Well, let's go live for a segment. No, it's not back. It's not back.
It's back for me.
Well, I don't know what's going on here.
All right. If the people want to watch us, they can do it the old-fashioned way by going to the YouTube machine.
Yeah.
Turn on the radio.
Well, we got a lot of people. By the way, shout out to everybody. We didn't talk about this. Vets Aid. Visit the Vets Aid for Joe Walsh. It's great. It's fantastic. Vince Gill, who I was excited about, rocked it. It was incredible. Nathaniel Rateliff. I'm not as like on Joe Walsh as people around here. Obviously, he's from here. Great show. But I'm going to tell you, TJ, a lot of people that listen to this show stopped around, you know, walking up for a beer, going to the restroom or whatever. A lot of people listening to the show stopped and said thanks for being there. So we appreciate all of you that are listening out there on KFH, on your way to work, all the different places, all the different ways. Thank you for being here with us. Let's talk Shockers. Corey asked on Facebook a while back, do we think that Wichita State can win the game tonight? Sure they can. Absolutely they can. This is a big, 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 big spot for Wichita State tonight. And, you know, if the things that we've seen so far, TJ, hold true, then absolutely, absolutely, Wichita State can go on the road and win that game. But what do we count on out of Wichita State? I think you hope for no turnovers. Yeah. I think like we saw, and I think you hope for a level of defense that translates to the road. Let's throw the jinx out there again into the universe. It's hard to count on going and shooting the way that they shot the last time we saw them, you know, come out and go 16 of 32 from three on the road. So it'll, you know, points will probably be a little harder earned tonight, but defense has to translate. And that's one thing we know when we get into conference play. It's one thing we know out of great Wichita State teams is even when they've been offensively challenged, which were a lot of teams in those great years, by the way, the defense travels and the defense is always there and it's relentless and it's there constantly and consistently. Let's find out if this team's got that in them. You know, can they go be that kind of defensive team on the road? And if they can, they're going to win a lot of games this year.
Yeah. You know, listening to what, you know, Coach Mills talked to us about yesterday before they got on the plane to go to Boise, reading, you know, Taylor Eldridge's article about the keys to the game. You know, it's synonymous of the things that's going to have to happen in this one is the fact that Boise State is one of the best rebounding teams in the country. They're really big. You know, Coach was saying they've got 7-footers that do a lot. They shoot threes. And so it's kind of a little bit, which I don't want to say Wichita State doesn't have that either because they have a 7'2" guy, but they rely on a lot of size. Wichita State's going to have to rely on some speed, I think. I think it's going to have to rely on going fast and scoring points quick, which they've done. So I think that it's as a Paul Mills-ism is that defense is how you win and offense tells you how much it is the one that he used this past week. And it's true, you know. But I think that there's going to have to be a lot of offense that's going to have to translate into this game. They're going to have to play fast. They're going to have to shoot at least semi-well. They're probably not going to make 16, but they're going to have to knock down shots because they're going to kind of pack it in because they know how big they are, and they're going to want to – they might take away Will Berg just because of the size that they've gotten. So they're going to have to push it fast. They're going to have to make a lot of threes. And obviously, they're going to have to not turn the ball over, but that you could say that about every single opponent there. So – as one of the best rebounding teams in the country, Wichita State's rebounded pretty well as well. So, like, it's interesting.
Well, they
it's
have, a- and I thought that what Paul Mills told us, which by the way, you can go back and listen to that on the Odyssey app from yesterday, about the rebounding was good too. You know, how many of those they have ways they can track it that are a lot easier than the ways we track it, which is for rebounding. Usually, it's just looking at the box score. Now we watch the games and we have a sense of it, but when you're looking for the stats of it, but they have other methods they use. How many of those were block shots? You know, how many of those were actual reboundable balls? And he said they've been pretty pleased with where they are in those areas so far. Defense and rebound. I mean, it's so cliche, but it's true. I mean, TJ, I coach a 5th grade girls basketball team and it's the same thing. Like, if you guys will rebound and if you guys defend, they can't beat you. They can't beat you if they can't score. And so, like, that's – and you get up to the highest levels anywhere, and it's – that's the kind of – that's what has to travel. Like, yeah. You don't go into opposing gyms anywhere in the country usually and have your best shooting night of the year.
I think
Wichita State is going to get to the line, or they're going to want to get to the line where the points come easier, and they're going to want to defend and rebound. This will be such a great test for them. I'm so excited for this game. We were just talking about KU and like, what will we learn? And like, for me, it's probably not a ton right yet. For Wichita State, I do think we can learn quite a bit tonight about the makeup of this team, which is older players, which obviously they're experienced, and we feel good about their offense and we feel good about all this stuff. Now let's learn if they can go into that kind of environment and just be nasty, right? Get after it that way defensively.
Yeah, I think that Josh Briscoe would have something to say about your expert takes there. If they play defense, don't turn the ball over, rebound, and make the free throws, they'll win games. That's like when we said, if the Chiefs don't make stupid penalties and don't turn the ball over, they'll win more football
games. But those are the things.
It is.
Like, those are the things that bring talent gaps together, right? Yeah. And I bring it up for Wichita State specifically because it's what they were so good at in their crazy run. I used to watch so many Shocker games where you want to pull your hair out with the kind of offense they played. And I'm talking about the really good years. You're just like, why are they having such a hard time scoring? However, they won the vast majority of those games. Why? Because they always were good defensively. They always rebounded well. And most of the time, they hit most of their free throws. You're raising your floor with all those things. And that's what I mean. Like, we know this team has a high ceiling, right? We've already seen that this year. We understand and have a good grasp that the ceiling of this team feels a little higher than the last couple of years. I think that's a fair statement. It feels like a higher ceiling. Where's the floor? And that's what we don't know yet. And now with the true road game, that it's our first chance to see that. Where's the floor with this team? Can they do those things that raise the floor?
Yeah, that's the question. I think that the thing that we like so much about this team is that I've been trying to pinpoint, because obviously whenever they shoot the ball so well, it's obviously great and everything like that. But that we've seen the early season successes that haven't translated into other things. I think that for me, at least, I guess I won't put words in your mouth, is that they have the pieces where they can score like they have in Kenyon Giles and Mike Gray and Dre Kendall even can get downhill really well. And, Will Berg is there to space the floor with them and everything. The spacing works really well for Will Berg, I'll say it that way. And that's what we like about the offense. But I think that the difference between Wichita State and K-State, because we've said there's two teams that are going to be really good on offense, is that Wichita State has guys like Caron Boyd and TJ Williams.
Absolutely.
That are the athletic guys that'll go defend and can go do that kind of thing. And that's what makes it, work. Well, K-State has nine guys that could all probably score you 20 points. But I don't know, like, that might be their defensive problems. Like, they haven't really had a guy they can go lock down on defense since, I don't know who you want to throw out there in the Jerome Tang era. Oh, they've got a lot of scores.
K-State?
I mean, you could say Keontae, but Keontae was an All-American.
Yeah, it's been a minute. But you're right. You're 100% right. Like, Wichita State was very intentional in bringing in and having defensive forces on this team. Will Berg is here, not for his offense. Yeah. Right. That's not why he's here. And that's what we do. Like, the offense that we've seen from him is a very pleasant surprise, but he's here to block shots and be a presence down low. At least that was my take on it. We hadn't even seen him play offense really. And he didn't have a chance to play much. That we know why Boyd's here. I mean, that was as clear as day, right? Why he was recruited. Mm-hmm. Those are the kinds of things I think that helps raise a floor for a team like Wichita State. The reality is, like, if they go to Boise and they give us a great energy and defensive performance, I'm going to feel really good about their chances in the American this year.
Yeah.
Boise's probably as good on paper early in the season from expectations, those kinds of things. They're as high as any team is this year in the American. Yeah. And you're about to go on the road. This feels to me like a road game against a top American team when you go do it. And so it is a really nice way to get a grasp of this on Wichita State. Look, I think they can win this game. I certainly think they can cover 9.5 points. I really don't want us to be overhyping this, this start to their season. And so I will watch with bated breath to see if they can,
I'll put this out there because they've got, I'm sure that there's a design of how they want to attack Boise because it's such a niche roster of the way that they do things that, you know, Paul Mills is telling us about that they do a lot of stuff with their 7-footers and they have to give up other things because of that. They've got a game plan that they want to attack through that. I'll say that if they lose tonight and if they struggle, it'll be because they shoot less than 20% from three. But I don't think that they will. But that's why they would lose the game.
That's going to be a pretty low number for this team. I just don't know what kind of volume they're going to take. But if they're,
I think against Boise,
if Boise scouts with a bunch of bigs, then you want to take a bunch of threes.
I think they'll shoot north of 25 threes. Like,
God, that's a big number. That's so jarring for Wichita State basketball. I know,
but that's what they've done. Like, they shot 36 against Drake, I think is what I said the number was.
Yeah, and then they didn't shoot a ton against Asheville, not Asheville.
Because they didn't shoot it well, but they didn't need to. But, like, against at some point, you got to be like, listen, guys, like, keep putting them up. We got to shoot these things.
You're going to hear it right here. KEYN tonight, 7:30. It's going to be a hard game to watch, by the way, on the Mountain West Network. I don't even know where that exists or if I have it.
I think the Mountain West Network is also compatible with Amazon Prime Video. I think.
Oh, okay. Well, either way, you can listen to it on KYN. Okay, that does it for us here. Tomorrow we should have Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. We'll have him in. Reaction, obviously, to the Boise State game, but get us ready for Shocker Volleyball starting the postseason on Friday. We'll get the latest there. We also have Shreyas Lotto. We should have him this week. We had a little bit of a travel issue last week, but he'll be in to react to KU Duke. What is the latest with Darren Peterson? We'll get it all with Shreyas Lotto. It'll be a busy Wednesday on the show. TJ, let's enjoy some college hoops tonight.
I will. I don't know how I'm going to manage two KU at 8, Wichita State at 8, and Dancing with the Stars at 7. I need 3 TVs downstairs tonight.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
There's a lot of listeners that are going to be in the same predicament as I.
I don't think that there will be, but, you know, to each his own. All right, we'll be back to discuss all of it except for Dancing with the Stars tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top-load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.